whenever I'm working with the business, I always tell them cut all the products that's not winning.
Right, we good. Good afternoon, Jordy.
Hello.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Taisha. How you guys doing today?
Good, and yourself?
You feeling good?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you guys for making time for this on a Saturday afternoon. My goal is to make this as valuable for you guys as possible, so you can walk away with something to take you guys in the direction that you guys want to head.
Orders that just came in that kind of like boosts us up a little bit and was like, all right, that's what's up.
Nice, nice. I'm happy about that. How did those orders come in?
Okay.
Some of them was word of mouth, and then some of them was customers that we had already, and then we might have had one or two from social media,
Okay,
from
nice.
Instagram posts.
Let's say I were to buy a candle today on the 16th. How long would it take until I'm like, yo, guys, I need another candle?
Okay, so it just depends on what they want. So if they get a candle that day, they probably come back within like a month or two, because the candles last for like 40 to 60 hours, depending on how long you burn them for. So
Okay.
and then they normally buy like two, three candles at a time.
Okay. Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Did you guys get to how much did you make it through the marketing document, the target profile creator?
We pretty much filled out all of it except for we saved what gaps exist between your current and desired brand image. We saved that.
Okay.
And those last three, what feedback or suggestions have they offered to improve your brand's image? And what strategies will you deploy to fix or perceive problems? The last two, I didn't write them down because we know them. But the first one that I mentioned, what gaps exist between your current and desired brand image? I was waiting to kind of discuss that with you and see,
Okay,
we can
got it.
collaborate thoughts on that.
So, what was the most helpful part of the guide for you guys?
Pinpointing our audience,
Yeah,
pinpointing our
just
customers.
yeah, like in the beginning, the first question, what motivates your audience to seek out products or services like yours?
Yeah.
So kind of like really had us focus in on what the customer want, what they say when they come up to us, you know what I mean? For that, we thought of overall love of candles, aromatherapy, handmade and safe for the environment, creativity and craftsmanship, and uniqueness. And
Nice.
that's pretty much what we get when people come up to the station, you know what I mean, and buy, or when they leave a review, they pretty much talk about the creativity, the craftsmanship, how great they smell, that type of thing. So
Nice. Well, I'm happy that some of those questions help you guys to focus in, because that's what I see a lot of the times when I do these types of consultations, is that, we want to capture a large market. But if you track the trend of any business, whether you look at Apple, Amazon, like Amazon started out with books. Apple started out just doing computers. They used to be called Apple Computer. Starbucks just sold coffee, and then they expanded their product list over time. So when I designed this, and I'm happy this helped you guys, it's to help you start thinking in a focused way. Because you can have the light from the sun lighting up the whole atmosphere, but when you take a magnifying glass and you laser point it at one area, you can start a whole fire. And that's the key thing that I love about marketing, is that you don't need a large marketing budget to create results. You just need a focused marketing budget on the people that actually need your product and service, and then you expand outwards afterwards. Let's jump into the Q&A, and I'll mix the questions into that, because I have a like a whole guide on how I conduct it. So there's like eight, nine categories that I typically do these sessions in, right? First one is understanding your business and your target audience. Two, we evaluate your marketing strategies. Three, it's the brand message and the identity, which kind of tackles that question that you had. Four, it's what is your sales process? So what happens when a customer inquires, when they buy, to afterwards, what your digital strategy is for attracting more customers, what are your competitors doing, and how are you set up shop compared to them? How are you allocating your resources, and then creating an action plan? You can shoot your question off, and then I'll walk you guys through from there, okay?
So I say the first question, or the first thing, the marketing part of it, and we kind of figured out, you talked about like who is your core audience, so we kind of tapped it in or narrowed down to women.
Yeah,
because when we're doing our events, it's mostly women that come up to the station, and you know, they like everything. You got guys that come up and they check it out, but the women is the ones that's coming up and, oh, we really like this, so beautiful, so cute, this, that, and the third. And then other thing is, like, we have people come on the website and look at stuff, but then they abandon their checkout. Okay. And we reach back out to them, but we're trying to figure out a way to get them, what is stopping them from making those purchases.
Call them and ask them why they haven't made a purchase.
They don't leave any like contact info. It's just showing are on the website. Okay. Yeah.
So then that's one of the first things I would look at then. Why aren't you capturing information? Or what part in the process can you capture information so that you can track all the way down? So that's one of the first problems that I've heard, is that if people are coming to your site, for example, when you go to any good landing page, it's very obvious where you leave your information. And I've been on you guys' site a few times. You have beautiful design in the products, right? But where am I leaving my information?
Right.
You know, and that's one of the things. You cut your ability to remarket to those people by like zero by not capturing them. So that's the first thing that I would think about. How and where and when am I capturing people's information so that then you could ask them? The reason is because we realize businesses from 0 to 50, they typically have no clue what they're doing unless they're in some type of corporate profession, right? The business owners that may be from 0 to 50 in a corporate profession, they have, and I'm talking like director of operations or close to the C-suite, in order to get to that level of business, you have to be disciplined. So you find that when your day-to-day customer is looking to make a purchase or something like that, or running their business, we found that they're just distracted. So we send texts, we send emails, we do more outreach. After the call, we do a consultation summary. We send a reminder, they get a reminder text, and like little things like that to ensure we get the appointments, you know? Cause like on a good day, I'll have like maybe like 4 or 5 appointments booked. 3 of them don't show up, 1 of them is undecided, and 1 of them is very clear on what their business is. But I have all of the information, so I can do something about it. So the first part is information capturing. And that's actually one part in the guide as well too. You know, you wanna have some system in place to capture information. Now that could be something as simple as name, number, email, address. You know, you give them some type of incentive. And I would say push beyond just 10-15% off, because those customers aren't really that good. You know, like, I think of like more, you know, like what more can you give to them that will really help them solve a problem? Like, give me a guide of the best candles to buy during the early winter months of the first quarter of 2024, you know? Or like, help me to figure out what candles, since women are the target customers, and remember, Tim, we're kind of talking about this at the booth. Now that you've told me that, I could say, hey, for Valentine's Day is coming up, what 3 candle scents can I use to seduce my man? It's like, huh? But it's things like that that gets people's conversation, and then you use that. Now, if you give a woman a guide like that, and then she gives you her contact information, you know that she's looking for candles to seduce her man. And now you've created a more qualified lead for your business.
We're definitely thinking about, I'm not even thinking about, we're gonna do some type of promo for Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And we're already thinking about ideas and candle concepts, but that could take it even further. Mm-hmm. More engaging with the customer on a personal level versus just like you said before, I buy this candle. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's what's going to push people over the hump.
Yeah.
To say, all right, I want to connect with them and support them at the same time. Moving forward, I want to do more marketing in the sense of information.
Yeah.
Versus just
exactly.
This is what I'm offering. Mm-hmm. I want to offer more information.
Mm-hmm. And like, think about this, Tim. Like, think about why you guys are here. A random guy in a suit approached you guys at the booth and said, hey, I'll do a video for you. I'll edit the video. And then I invited you to a workshop. I gave actionable information. I gave you guys some offers. You picked one. And then we're here right now, you know?
Right.
So at every step in the process, I've invested my money and time to get you guys something good. So mm-hmm. So at that point in time, what that does, it's like, if Jordy's willing to do this video, edit the video, he sent the video at the time when he said he was gonna send the video, then he's answering questions in a meta way, trust is being created. You know, because you have to manufacture trust by just being a good person. And you guys already have a good product. And that's why in the skit, you had that reaction that was like, oh, shoot, babe. You know, like, I'm energized. So now you're tapping into the psychology. Like, that's what this is all about. You know, like, how can you get into the psychology? So what's the next question?
I would say as far as like the social media aspect of it and posting stuff, we create new product all the time. Okay or cool to like repost
like the same product,
you know what I mean?
So I have a question.
And if we don't have events going on at the time, you know what I mean? And so, of course, I'm gonna add the information part of it, which is going to be more content. But I'm just wondering, like, if I post something about a certain a particular candle, how much should I do it or how less, you know what I mean?
Now Let me ask you guys a question, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this will help the thinking around this. Give me a number, because I counted like maybe like 10 products, but like about how many products do you guys have in total?
A lot. At least about 30.
Yeah, at least about.
Now, why do you have that many products?
Just to give people more variety, because everybody has a different scent. You know, every time we go to like an event, we don't have a certain scent that someone requesting, so then I will go and get it because I know other people will want it. So that's how we come about like different scents, just trying to engage with all customers and giving them everything that they, you know, desire.
Which candle is the best seller?
Limoncello, lavender, and strawberry shortcake.
Whenever I'm working with the business, I always tell them cut all the products that's not winning. Type of product you create, you have to market the product in a different way. And a lot of the times what I notice that creates anxiety and a feeling of stagnation is because you have to come up with so many different ideas for so many different types of products that you get burnt out. When you purchase an iPhone or a Galaxy, they come in white, blue, or black. And that's because they did a study that when people are presented with too many options, the best decision is to make no decision at all. So what happened?
Let me cut in real quick.
Mm-hmm.
When we at the station, sometimes we do get customers that is there for a while because they don't know what to choose.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you can't have all those products. Like, you could position it in a way where it's like, here are our best sellers.
Right.
And then here are sample scents that we're working on. But people like to do what other people do. Mm-hmm. So if those products are the best sellers, I would actually highlight those and then keep the other ones in the back. But then what happens, you create more momentum. Because if I were to work with you guys for 3 to 6 months, I would cut off all other products. And I would say to you, let's come up with, I would probably even challenge you guys more. Let's cut off the other two products too. Let's look at the best seller and sell that. Because I had a company that approached me the other day. They made $60,000 off of one product. And I'm like, but if you made $60,000 off of the one product, is that the most amount of money that you could have made off of that product? No. the best selling product in Apple right now, to keep going with that analogy, is the iPhone. So is the limoncello the best version of what it could be right now? Maybe not. Maybe you could get it to burn for 65 hours.
Right.
Maybe you could add pheromones to it that instantly make somebody attracted to each other. Or maybe you could make 100 types of videos around the limoncello to get people interested. Point being is you guys have a lot of product, and I suspect that it may hinder the creativity process. Because it's like, all right, when do we create for what? Or what's in season? Or like, because people are gonna make, like, they're gonna smell, but if you look on most sites, most categories of product have three: small, medium, large. Once you go to the fourth one, it's like, that fourth one is good, but number two, I would save more money. And the customer doesn't want to think that much, you know? So that's one suggestion that I would give. And I think it would cause you guys to grow a lot, because you're going to be laser focusing. Remember the analogy with the sunlight. Yeah, you're taking all your energy and you're putting it into these small focus places. Because if those are the top sellers, I would cut everything else, you know, like, and I would challenge myself for like 3 to 6 months, not create any more product, but create better versions of the products that are already doing well. And I know that your business would grow a lot. I really believe that.
When we add these events, we don't have a problem with selling the product, you know what I mean? But I do understand where you're coming from as far as highlighting, you know what I mean? And giving that information of this is, because we get that question a lot too. What are your best sellers? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if we set up in a way where that question don't even have to be asked,
exactly.
It's like when you go into the McDonald's menu, it's like, you know, this is the best here, and then this is everything else. When they come up to our station, mm-hmm. if we got limoncello, strawberry shortcake, and such is, you know, best top sellers, mm-hmm. top three sellers.
We have mm-hmm. light in those.
And then mm-hmm. everything else on the side, you know what I mean? You know, if you don't like those, then you got some options. But mm-hmm. so, yeah, I understand that. Mm-hmm. I definitely understand that.
And I'll even give you this other idea too. You could have small samples of the other flavors, and then you could tell people, hey, we're working on these flavors right now. Smell it, tell me if you like it, and I'll add you to a pre-order list so that you'll be the first notified for when we actually do develop it.
Right.
And then now, instead of constantly making product, you just use the sample method. That would lower your production costs. You have more money to invest in other parts of the business, and you have more time to market. Because if you constantly—
And what I can say is, like, we do keep, like, our best sellers on hand, like, whereas though I don't have to make them. Like, the other ones, we hand make them, like, right then and there as people are placing orders. Yeah. So we don't keep, like, a big inventory of that. Like, we don't do that. But we do have, like, inventory of all of our best sellers.
And it's because we know that those aren't the best mm-hmm. sellers, which is why. Because if they were selling as much, you'd have them in stock all the time. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. So that's what I think about that. So let me ask you guys a question, right? What are you guys currently doing to market your business? Like, what platforms, what tools are you using? What marketing strategies?
I want to dive more into like one-on-one with the customer, like we were discussing earlier, reaching out to them through our website. So that's something that I'm researching to try to, you know, figure that out and reach out to them with emails and offers and things of that nature. But for the most part, the social media, you know, Instagram, Facebook. But I do want to do something that I heard you talk about the other day, was jump into the Facebook groups and tap into that and try to, you know, see what people are talking about when it comes to the product that we serve. But yeah, social media, word of mouth, email through our website, mm-hmm. and, you know, just our business cards and stuff.
How many emails do you have on file?
About 50 something customers that really locked in. So we got their emails, but where I'm slipping at, and I notice, is that when we go to these events,
we don't
get the contact information at the events.
And that's the return on investment for the events. All of those right. contact information.
Yeah, because what happens is that where I get frustrated and I tell my wife, I say, I'm surprised we didn't get more orders after the event based on all the people that came up to the table and took business cards. But I think about myself, I might take a business card. I might take 20 business cards and something that stand out about one or two people like you, you know what I mean, is something that'll keep me engaged. But the other ones, they might stay in the glove compartment in the car. So if I was to be getting contact info, some type of card, some type of application they fill out, you know what I mean? And then, you know, because we have our laptop with us, but a lot of times we'd be so busy with engaging with the customers that we forget to even say, hey, sign up to our website. You know what I mean? Which is no excuse, but
go ahead. How often are you emailing your list?
Not enough.
0 times a week? 1 time a week?
I say the most I reached out is about abandoned checkouts and promotions that we might be offering.
Okay, so no content that would be good for them, like only promotions, only sales, really, like no like content for them, right?
Right.
Do you guys have a customer relationship management tool or CRM?
I don't even know.
No, that's the first I even heard.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'll keep that in mind. Do you have an email marketing system?
Yeah, on the website, we got a option to create campaigns and things of that nature to send out, you know what I mean? And reach out to our customers.
What platform are you guys
on? This is on, so this is Shopify, yeah.
Okay, got it. Are you guys running any type of paid advertising right now?
No
paid advertising.
Okay. What are, I know one of your goals, Tim, is to join Facebook group and stuff, but what are some of the other top things that you guys are looking to do in 2024 for the first 3 months?
Well, I mean,
that's why we wanted to talk to you, because we like new to this. So we wanted to get like some ideas of what we should do, you know, because we've been doing everything as far as like posting stuff on Facebook. What are some new ideas that we can create? That's why we wanted to talk to you to see what we can do.
All right. So if I am a new customer, walk me through the process from start to finish of from the time that I make an inquiry to the time that I buy a product. And what happens afterwards?
Yeah, so basically, I mean, you go on the website. Let's just use the website. You go on the website, you place your order, then we will fulfill the order by creating a shipping label. You'll get a notification saying that your order been fulfilled. Then we go ahead and, you know, if we have to create the candle or whatever, we'll do that. If it's already created, then we go ahead and package it all up. We send out a thank you letter. We handwrite, you know, whoever it's for. We send out samples of melts as a thank you, along with the candles that they purchase, and they usually get them in within 1 to 3 business days.
Okay.
And yeah, then after that, it's pretty much done after that. I mean, we get a confirmation that the item was delivered, and yeah, that's pretty much the end of it.
Okay. So let's say somebody met in person and then they probably bought one in person, you get the information, but they kind of like went through that process in person. When you get them on their list, what happens? I buy a candle. Are you communicating with me after that?
See, that's
why we don't get that's the information. Okay.
That's the downfall right now. When we have these events, and I use the events because that's the live physical selling of the product with one-on-one with the customer. I even suggested that when we do the events and people pay, we ask them if we can send them a receipt by email. When we send them the receipt, we got the information as a customer with the email, and then we can reach back out to them at our leisure whenever we feel like it, you know what I mean? And so that's something that I want to incorporate moving forward, just to get the contact, whether it be through the receipt or just a physical card that I hand them and say, hey, would you mind filling this out for contact so we can, you know, keep in touch with you, see how you like the product or whatever, you know what I mean?
So I think, so there's two opportunities here for improvement. One is at the beginning of the process and one is at the end of the process, right? And I will I'm going to show you guys a concept called a marketing funnel, right? So the funnel is all the steps that a customer is going to take. So we say, here's the starting point, right? So somebody may meet you in person, or they visit the website. And this is just a generic sales funnel. And so I'm going to apply your guys' business to it, right? So somebody meets you in person, they might actually get to this part, right? Where you're talking to them, you're answering their questions. So you're pretty much able to buy from, they're able to buy from you right away, right? Because in person, you're answering questions, talking to them, walking them through the process, getting them excited. Boom, they give you their wallet and then they make a purchase. When somebody goes on your website, the whole idea of the funnel is to emulate that process so that it can act as your sales representative in the background. Making sense so far?
Yeah.
Right? So let's say customer sends an inquiry, or they may visit your website. The next thing that they're going to do is they're going to browse. Then this qualification stage, it may be decision stage. So they're either going to add to cart or leave. That's what's going to happen here. From there, if they abandon cart, this is now where you're sending those emails. So you may follow up. So this may be a follow-up call. This may be an abandoned cart email. This may be content about how candles improve relationships, right? And then you get them back over here to the website. Or in your case, you might get them back to the decision stage. Then they're at the checkout page. And this can apply to any business, right? The whole goal of them getting into this stage right here is because you want to route them back to the page so that they can complete their purchase.
Right.
This part can be automated. In fact, all of this can be automated.
Now that part I do have, where once they do abandon cart, email automatically goes out and asks them, hey, I see you have some stuff in your cart, you know what I mean? Do you want to continue with your purchase? Something of that nature. But I don't know word for word, but something like that.
Okay, nice. So then they do that. They read your email, Tim, and they go back to the cart. Then they get to checkout. Then they start filling in the information, and then they abandon the cart again. Their mom called them. In the middle of putting in the CVC number, mom calls, they get distracted, and then they have to drive up to New York. So then they end up leaving yet again. So now from here, you got to follow up with them again. So then you got to have a process in place here to get them back over on the other side. From here, they make a purchase, and then you send your thank you note. The client gets a notification. They get a thank you letter. That's what you described to me just now, right?
As well as a sample melts to, just another part of a thank you. Nice. So they get a letter and they get the little melts on the side.
Right. And then after that, nothing happens. So ideally, you want to treat every customer is to get them to go through this process again. It could be fun skits. It could be workshops. It could be, and this is why some businesses stay small and some businesses grow into monster businesses. Because at this point, this is where you separate those who are doing good and those who are doing great. We noticed that people typically buy candles every 30 to 45 days. You could put people on a subscription.
So that, that's something else I was thinking about.
You know, but before you get them on a subscription, you want to get the process down right, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in these processes, people are probably leaving because they don't really know what to do. And the whole part of that, it could be a lot of reasons. Too much information, too many products, no product descriptions, story isn't clear, target audience isn't clear, the content doesn't resonate, maybe they got busy. So the whole point of content, because what content is marketing material. It's just a modern term for that. But all your marketing material, like look at the guide that I made. The whole purpose of the guide is to help you guys. Yes, it helps me when a sale is made off of it, but I've packed things into it that leaves you guys with more questions. So you answer some of the questions, you get focused, but then now it's having things. So that's how you want to create your guides as well too. You make them in a way that inspires questions, and then you make your clients realize a problem that they probably didn't realize that they had. Because that's what the process of education is, to bring out the best in somebody. Just like how you guys bring out the best in the people that have continuously chosen to buy from you, right?
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So it could be workshops. Now, can you do all of these? No, it's gonna take a lot of time. But you have to figure out the thing that brings your customer the most value. And a lot of the times, you just ask them. I'm gonna pick up the phone and and that's why I ask you guys, what were the best parts of the guide for you? What parts helped you the most? Because the next person that comes in, I can take the feedback you guys gave me and I can make the guide better for the next person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I'm not going to create another guide for anytime soon. I'm going to make that guide so good that if you actually sit down and fill it out, you shouldn't have any questions, or you're ready to buy the next service or something like that, you know? So these are some of the things that you could do to re-engage people. But now let me go back up to the top. Here is the gap that exists. When somebody visits your website and they begin to browse, here's what's happening. So one problem exists right here. This is one of the biggest problems. And then this is where a form comes in. That's where your CRM comes in. You could set up Shopify. I'm not a Shopify expert, but I know you can do it. You can set up Shopify to sync up with your CRM system. Mm-hmm. So somebody fills out information on Shopify, it could go right into your CRM system. And then you could look at people's information and then be like, oh, you guys on the back end, like you could see this person visited the website at that time. Okay, they visited it at 6 p.m. Let me phone them up at 6 p.m. or send a text or email at that time. That's the gap here that needs to be filled. If that's filled right here, you get more firepower for pretty much everything else. Mm-hmm. So that's the first leak that would need to be fixed. And then this part, it takes a lot of effort to meet people in person, especially down during the off season. And then, so people typically are driving traffic. So traffic is the next definition, right? Anything that you do that doesn't cost you money up front, right?
Right. So,
like a post, Google search. I mean, you have to be really good at it to do that. Though you make a post, hey, everybody, we're doing a special, go over to the website right now. Traffic goes there, that's organic. Paid traffic is where you have like your Google ads, your Facebook ads. When people meet you in person, this doesn't work during the off season. People, if you're not posting all the time, people can't visit the website.
Mm-hmm.
So then the problem exists that nobody's visiting the website. So nobody could browse, and then no information is being collected. Nothing happens, but you can't see me pointing, but nothing happens in this stage because you have a traffic problem. So the two problems that exist is how do you continuously and predictively drive traffic to your website? And then what tool are you using to collect information? And then what steps are you putting in place to constantly engage your customer? That is pretty much what your funnel is. What we're looking at now is how do we fix what the marketing plan and what the branding plan is for the company. And then we get into, okay, if we're trying to target women who do X, Y, Z, here are some things that we could post. And then now you create a calendar for yourself and then you constantly create. And then now when you work with a photographer or a videographer, you could say to them, hey guys, so we have a promotion coming up for Valentine's Day and here's some ideas. What can you guys make out of this? And they like that because pure creatives, meaning people that I'm like, I take a business-led approach to it, which is why I could have this conversation with you. But like people that just want to create stuff, they get excited when you guys come to them with ideas because mm-hmm. then they could just make ideas. But you always need somebody that is thinking about how do the ideas impact the business.
Right.
So that's my spiel on the two things you need to solve.
Yeah, pretty much. She definitely has ideas of how to get it out there. So we definitely collaborate on that. Nice. But she's mainly all creative when it comes to the candles. You know what I mean?
Based on this process, what are some questions you guys have about it that I could clarify for you to make the whole concept clearer for you?
So like you said, engage more traffic in the audience and to the website. And that's basically just building these customer relationships on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Versus letting gaps go. The other thing I'll do is like somebody will buy and then I will send them an email to activate their account. You know what I mean? But still, after that, I'm not really engaging with them mm-hmm. on a daily basis. Yeah, it's just more so taking in the information you gave me and then processing and making it, applying it to the business. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much where I'm at now.
Exactly.
Because I want to be able to build these relationships with the customers. Hey, you ordered the candle yesterday. Your candle is being developed, is being processed, is on its way, versus just a little automated, you know, thing where it's say, hey, this is the tracking number. I can reach out to them and say, personally, your candle is done, your candle is being delivered. And then once they receive the candle, then I can reach out to them again and say, we noticed you received your candle. We want to know how you like it. Mm-hmm. Did it meet your standards? Did you burn it yet? If so, did it burn well? Is there anything we could do better? All that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All that.
Right. Now, I have like two more points for you guys. Who are your biggest competitors?
Well, I mean, it's definitely other people that does the style of candles we do. I would say we have one competitor that's local, a person named, what is it, Dulcie?
Yeah, I think it's Dulcie
Candles.
Dulce, yeah. Yeah.
And she does a candle that's very similar to ours. But other than that, it'll be, you know, your typical Bath and Body Works and any of those candle shops that's selling, you know, candles and been doing it for years. You know what I mean?
Are you guys planning to have a marketing budget for 2024? Like specific funds set aside for marketing activity?
Yeah, that's something that we're working on and trying to map out mm-hmm. because we know we gotta to get to the next level. We're going to have to use a tool mm-hmm. or partner with somebody to help us get that exposure that we're looking for and get the brand to look like a quality brand. You know what I mean? Versus just us taking pictures and putting them up and posting them. You know what I mean? Because sometimes we take pictures and they can be great. Sometimes we take pictures and I'm like, I don't want to put this up. I don't want to post this.
You know, and you're not the first one that told us about the pictures. You know, they saying make sure all the pictures look the same as far as like background and clean and friendly, you know, so it won't be too much not focusing on the product. So you're not the only one that told us that.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just saying we definitely is thinking about getting in a position to market it better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? In this coming year.
And marketing better is subjective too, because it's not that one type of content works more, because like on my end, I'm like, we have 20 ads running right now, right? One of them is a professionally shot video, and then some are video shot from the phone, and then some of the pictures are professional pictures. So it's a mix, you know, so you should post the stuff that's on your phone, because if you look on Bath and Body Works Style, they're a multi-million dollar company, but they post content because they know their target audience. So it's regular people. Mm-hmm. So on the site, they have very well professional imagery, but on mm-hmm. the page, it's a mix. So, right. So look, if you see here, Bath and Body Works, and I use them because like we know Bath and Body Works. So if you look here,
yeah,
professional stuff, and then they have user generated items, you know, which is like from people. You know, like see like little stuff because they know how to, but like see, but on the side it's the professional items.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a mix, it's both. Like marketing is mm-hmm. and this and that and whatever, right?
Gotcha.
So I think we could stop here today. You know, like I think this is a good point to stop. I think you guys are on the right track. Show, like think entertainment. Mm-hmm. And then in that you create opportunities. Like I used to do like Q&As a lot more, you know? And like Q&A is a great way. You're like, I'm able to go deeper with you guys because we're one-on-one. But you know, like eventually I'm gonna reboot doing that Q&A show where I answer the questions and mm-hmm. I go deep because that's like value creation. You know, mm-hmm. like nothing here is about me. Everything is about you guys.
So, right.
Hey, like, what do you do to de-stress after like a week? You know, like just ask them random stuff.
Ask questions. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Well, we do appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Definitely do. And we're going to be getting in touch with you real soon. Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys.
So we'll have a good weekend.
You guys have a good weekend. Okay.
And happy holidays.
You as well, buddy.
All right.
All right.